Genesis chapter 3:6. We'll just start with Eve. And when the woman, it was the woman's fault, saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband that was standing there with her, not covering her. Everybody wants to blame the woman, but he was standing right there next to her. He was like, you go ahead. She picked it and handed it to him. And he took it too. Mm-hmm. And he did eat. He's not so holy either. And the eyes of them were both open. And they knew they were naked. There was nothing clothing them in the garden but the glory of God. As soon as they partook, the glory departed from them. They were so clothed in the glory, they didn't know they were naked because that was the original clothing of man, was the glory. And they sewed fig leaves and made themselves aprons. First thing they did, try to cover. See, once you feel the nakedness and the separation, you want to try to cover. You want to try to cover because you're feeling the separation. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam, his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. That's the second thing you're going to do. You're going to try to hide. You're going to cover and hide, cover and hide. These are all the effects of separation from God. And the Lord God walked amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord called on Adam and he said, where are you? Adam, where are you? You think God didn't know where Adam was? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So you see what else came in here? Fear. Fear entered in. Fear. Chuck brought this out. We were sitting in the office today. Fear was a byproduct of separation, and the whole world system is built off fear. But the fear came in through the separation. The separation was the bigger issue. Because as soon as man was separated, the glory departed and they began to try to cover themselves. They hid themselves from God. There's a lot of things. That's what darkness does. It wants to hide. There's a lot of things you don't realize in your pursuit of God. There are a lot of parts of our life that like to hide. They don't want to be brought out into the open. They don't want to come out into transparency. And as long as it's hiding, we'll never be free. Sometimes you know what you're hiding, but then there's other times you don't know what you're hiding. You don't know why you hide. You don't know why those areas like to hide. You don't know why, because it's built in to hide. That's their first response to the separation, was to hide, to cover themselves and to hide. See, man is designed to be covered. Naked or not, he's still designed to be covered. Without the glory, with the glory, he's still designed to be covered. So the first thing they did, they realized they weren't covered. They tried to cover themselves. And see, that only produces more separation when we try to cover ourselves. We try to cover and hide, cover and hide, cover and hide. Well, a lifetime of building and covering and hiding and covering and hiding, what that does is producing more and more separation. And that's what you're contending with when you're trying to come into the union with God. You're dealing with walls and coverings of separation, except you can't always see what's there. It's just a veil. When you're trying to approach God, you're feeling the separation. And then what happens when you feel the separation, there's a lot of doctrines that get built around the feeling of that separation, like, well, God hides himself. God's not hiding. God's an open book. You just got to find his pathway, amen. And then other parts, other doctrines are things such as when we're trying to hide what comes in, unworthiness. Might be not be a doctrine, but it's feeling. And so all of these areas keep us from the presence of the Lord because we don't know why that wall's there. Sometimes you can't discern what is there. Sometimes you think something's wrong with you. And so there's something wrong with you. God's not accepting you, so I can't get through because something's wrong with me. So what we try to do is we go try to make it right. We go to try to find everything and make our life right to get through the veil. Got to, something's obviously wrong because, you know, when I try to go pray, I got this wall and I can't get through. So something about me God doesn't like. Or there's something about me God's not accepting, so I can't get to him because something's wrong with me. That's a built-in belief system that's contrary to the mind of Christ, but it's still based upon your feeling, and it's still based upon that wall of separation. So what you try to do when you feel that way is you go try to find out what is wrong with me. I got to fix it. And then when you try to fix it, it gets worse because you can't fix it. And the more you try to fix it, the worse it gets. And then you're in this continual frustration with your own stuff. Does that make sense? And you're in your continual cycle. I'm trying to fix all this because I can't get to God, who's the only one that can fix me. So the more you try to fix yourself, the worse it gets. You ever tried that? Because if you're zeroing in on your faults and your shortcomings and you're focused on them, they're going to magnify. Let me see. I'm going to give you a big, huge kingdom secret. Whatever you're focused on is what will get magnified. If you focus on your infirmity, your weaknesses, it will get magnified. If you focus on God, he'll get magnified. Amen. The key is not try to find out, because the wall's there and you can't get through, is try to turn around, try to fix something or hide or cover yourself and do all the things we do to perfect. Because you're feeling imperfect, you're trying to perfect because you're living on this side of the wall. Does that make sense? The separation might be there. But God has done something about that separation. How do I get through the separation? Well, you can't get through looking at your own faults. You can't get through trying to perfect yourself. That's why as soon as Adam and Eve tried to hide it, they hid themselves, they tried to clothe themselves. God said, that clothing won't do. Because they fell naked, they got fig leaves and they tried to clothe themselves because we're designed to be covered. And because we're designed to be covered, they wouldn't try to cover themselves. And God said, listen, that won't do. That'll only produce more separation. So he killed the blood of an innocent animal and he clothed them with the skin of that animal. When he did, he showed them that only the blood can cover. There has to be a sacrifice. And then that caused where God began to cover man again. And he began his process of covering until he could get us back into what? Union. Say union. So he said, where are you? God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree? And the man said, it was the woman. And the woman said, it's the devil. Nobody wants to take responsibility. Amen. It's somebody else. It's not me. Can't be me. Why don't you look at verse 9 real quick. God called Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? So in God, in his restoration, he raised up a last Adam. Say the last Adam. He's the final Adam. And the response of the last Adam is, where I am, there shall you be also. Adam, the last Adam, responds the way the first Adam should have responded. The last Adam is raised up and he responds to God's original mandate. God's original plan. See, people don't understand that God has a plan. He's going to get fellowship when you're in heaven, but he had a plan for man in the earth. God's plan for man was to walk with him in union and have dominion. That's God's plan. He doesn't vary from it. Just because we have heaven to go to, God still wants union here. And the highest order of dominion will come by the highest order of union. The more union, the more dominion. The more oneness, the more dominion. So the last Adam comes in response to the Father's question. The first Adam, he says, Father, where I am, the last Adam, where I am now, where are you? Here I am, where I am. See that? Now he's calling to all the other Adams, the Adamic race, where I am, there shall you be also. So it was his response to Adam. Notice what his response was in John 17. And Father, I will they be, verse 24, they be with me, whom you've given me to be with me where I am. In verse 24. So the response to the separation, God's answer to the separation was the restoration of union. We must get past the aspect of just being saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and functioning. God wants more than that. He wants the restoration to what he had with man in the beginning. He's going to have a generation that's full restored to union. And the full restoration of union is going to bring the restoration of all things. We're trying to restore and bring the whole kingdom down without the union. Without the union, the kingdom's only going to come in part. It's going to come in measure. But when the union's restored, that's why God's plan that was set in action, he says, where are you, Adam? The separation. He goes, well, okay, here I am. I've restored back into perfect union. Now where I am, I call everybody to be with me where I am. That's the response to the garden. That's what God's looking for. A generation that will come into union. Say union. Oneness. They asked the Lord, they said, what's the greatest commandment? And he quoted back from the book of Deuteronomy. He said, here's the commandment. Do you know the book of Deuteronomy, 41 times mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy to keep his word. 41 times. 41 times said, keep my word, keep my word, keep my word. Keep, 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 keep. And this word is not in heaven. You have to go get it. It's not in the earth, the depths that you have to go find it. This word is brought near to you. It's going to be brought into your heart. It's going to be in your mouth. Keep that word. And this is the word that you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. So they asked the Lord, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, here is the greatest commandment. It's the one that's been given you from the beginning, is to love your father with all of your heart, say all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your soul. Oh, is that it? Yeah, that's it. So we all say, well, yeah, of course I love him. If I say, do you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, body, strength? Yes, 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 of course. But see, God's definition of whether we love him like this is different than our definition. So God wants to bring his people to an elevation of love that we haven't seen, and he wants to perfect that operation. Now, some of us, it's easy to love the Lord our God with all our spirit because our spirit's made in the image of God. But when it comes time to start loving the Lord our God with all of our soul, that's a different story. How about this? To love the Lord your God with all your mind. How do I know I love the Lord your God with all your mind? Just wake up and go to pray. Just go to the prayer closet when you wake up and see how submitted your mind is to God. He didn't mean this, well, I'm going to read the scripture, read the scripture, read the scripture, and then I'm going to love him with all your mind. It was a byproduct of the fall. It was originally created in the image of God, but then it fell. And because of that, there's got separation in there. So when you're coming to pray, there are parts of you that's going to be connected to God, and there's other parts that won't be connected. And those other parts that are not connected, those are the parts that have to come through the veil. Jesus said, he entered the veil. We enter the veil with whom our forerunner has passed. Some parts of us can get through the veil pretty easy. The other parts, not so easy. Case in point, how many of you, when you wake up, you hear these messages that I teach day in, day out, and you go to pray, and all of a sudden you got this wall. Boom. A brick wall. It's there. And your mind is just set on high. I mean, it's got 50 things rolling through it. Especially if you got a very active mind. I mean, the time you wake up, your mind will start activating quickly. And so you're trying to pray, and your mind's over here starting to solve all of life's problems. Or it's starting to plan your day out. If you're a planner, your mind will start planning. If you're an orderly person, the first thing you're going to think of all the things that are out of order while you're praying, your mind's over setting things in order. Okay, I got to do this and this and this and this. How many of you are, am I talking to anybody? And you're trying to pray, and all of a sudden, you're praying, all of a sudden, your mind's somewhere else. I mean, you're trying to get to a holy God, a spiritual father that's full of love, but your mind's got you somewhere else. So what you're really doing is loving the Lord your God with all your spirit, but your mind is totally unsanctified. It is unsubmitted. And it doesn't want to submit. It don't feel like submitting. Then you add feelings on top of that. Feelings. So when you get, and then you got a stronghold on top of that, that's your mind, feelings, empowered by a stronghold. And sometimes there are devils too. And you got all that, you're trying to get all that through the veil. You're trying to pray, Father, I love you. I love you, Father, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. I worship you, Father. I worship you. You're saying that with your mouth and your mind's over here. How many of you have ever done that? How many of you done that in the last week? And then you wonder, I can't get through. Nothing's ever happening. Well, it's because part of you's in and part of you's not in. So today I thought I would zero in on the mind. The Lord spoke to me and he said, most people are struggling with an unsanctified mind. That doesn't mean a mind that sins. I'm not talking about that. A mind that's not subject. Now, the operations that we're teaching, the union with God, oneness with God, is going to require your mind to be a participant. Isn't that good news? It's requiring the mind to participate, but not be the lead horse. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes 10. It's not on your page. It says, I've seen servants upon horses. I'm going to help you with your mind today if you'll listen to me. Let me ask you a question, see if I'm hitting it. How many of you struggle in your prayer life with your wandering mind? I'm not talking about wandering with sin, just wandering off. Raise your hand. I want you to look at the hands in here. So I'm hitting it. Your mind, it's not because you're not good enough. It's not because you're unworthy. What's keeping you out? It's not because of your faults, your failures, your shortcomings. What's keeping you out is the wandering mind. Unsubmitted mind, not knowing how to submit the mind. I'm not understanding. Don't you think the Lord did something if he's going to ask you to love him with all your mind? Because he specifically said in that scripture I got on your page on Mark, love the Lord your God with all of your mind. I can't love him with all my mind if it's not subject, if my mind's out there doing something else. And the problem is your mind has the power to pull you out. Even when I'm swimming in the love of the Father, sometime I'll get so engrossed that my mind will start drifting. Even in that high, high, high level, sometime it'll drift out there, just pull it back in. Because this type of union, you're not going to achieve. Here's the thing about praying in tongues. I was taught to pray in tongues by my spiritual father. There's nobody, in my opinion, that had more revelation in that area than him. He wrote a book called Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power. We were taught to pray, and I mean everybody that was associated with him, most everybody would pray multiple hours in tongues. We were getting up, seriously, sometimes praying 8 to 10 hours a day in tongues. And he'd pray 15, 16 hours a day. That's where all the revelation comes from. People don't understand it. Where the revelation comes, you're speaking all the mysteries. When you're speaking mysteries, God answers the mysteries. But the thing about that is I remember in my prayer days, whether I security midnight security guard or just pray, I just prayed my mind could do whatever it wanted to do. It could go wherever it wanted to go. Because when you pray in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. I didn't need my mind to pray. I didn't need it. My spirit would pray. My mind could watch TV. My mind could go and solve all the mysteries. My mind could be thinking about the future the whole time I'm praying in tongues. But union with God, even corporate worship, you'll come in here, you can be all submitted, but you get into corporate worship with the right kind of anointing, right kind of atmosphere, everything just comes in alignment. When you get into the glory, the corporate glory, it just comes in alignment. Or when the presence of God comes upon your life, it captivates you. But what happens when you're not captivated? What happens when you're trying to get through the veil, when you're not captivated, and your mind's not submitted? Are you going to allow your mind to keep you out of the love of the Father a whole lifetime? Because it can if you allow it to. It'll keep you out of union. And sometimes it's not a matter of being better. It's a matter of understanding the skill involved in bringing your mind in submission with God. Amen. If you get your mind in submission, your mind in harmony, what you're going to do is find yourself moving more thoroughly. You're going to write this down. If you're going to be serious, if you're here, this is where God's leading us. He's leading us to union. He's leading us to oneness. And if you're serious about this, you're going to have to do something with the mind. You're not going to be able to do nothing with it. If you don't do anything, it'll rule you. Ecclesiastes had this amazing verse that I've seen servant upon horses and princes walking on the face of the earth. And Solomon wrote that, and he's saying, I've seen the most interesting thing. He said, listen, shouldn't the prince been on the horse? And the servant? He goes, but the servant got on the horse. And the foreshadowing mystery, what he was trying to say was, man is created spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit, our soul, and then our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And then our body, well, you can look at the body like the horse. He's the one carrying you around everywhere. The way God ultimately designs life is for the spirit man to rule the body. Amen. He should be with the ones in with the reins and hands directing your life. The soul in a secondary position, mind, will, and emotions in a secondary position submitted to the will of the spirit man. Amen. When you have that kind of order, you're going to find your life moving in harmony with God. If you don't, the soul is going to get on the body, and he's going to run your life around. And when the soul takes charge, and you're a spirit-filled being, and the soul is taking charge of your life with the body, you're headed for trouble. Barney, rubble, trouble. You're going to be out of alignment, because your spirit man's going to be going, hey, I am the one that knows what's going on here. You see that? So we have to constantly be in alignment. So the mind cannot be in the seat when you're in union with God. It cannot have the reins of your life, because if you allow it to do that, it's going to breach fellowship with God on a daily basis. It's going to be very rarely you ever enter into anything that's substantial with God, because the mind's going to block your operation. It's going to do so because its nature is, first of all, it's a product of this world system. It's a product of the fall. It's a product. And what it's going to do is just do what it does. It wants to connect you to this world system. It wants to connect you to the systems of the world. And that's what it does. So it doesn't naturally want to submit. And so when you're asking your mind, you're coming in, you're all of a sudden your mind, I love you, Lord, I love you. And your mind just starts drifting until you learn to do something with that drift. It's going to drift you right out. I remember Anna giving a testimony this week. She had a really powerful breakthrough. One of her prayer days, and one of the things she said was that she started acknowledging the Holy Spirit. And she said, I just kept focusing and focusing and focusing on the Holy Spirit. And I didn't stop speaking. I kept focusing, and it broke her right in. See? One of the greatest things you're going to have in this type of prayer, you can say the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and strength. The number one thing you're going to need to possess is focus. Right, that focus. Without focus, you cannot consistently move into the kingdom of God. Because you're going to move wherever your focus is. The enemy's learned that, so he wants to put a cell phone in front of your life to connect you to the world 24 hours a day. Because he wants your focus. If he has your focus, he has your attention. If he has your attention, he's already won the battle. Because if your attentions move there all the time, then he wants to continually connect. There's nothing wrong. I have a cell phone and an iPad. I love them, but I don't. But I'm not supposed to touch them before I go to prayer. And the days that I do touch them, I get a little lazy and I'll touch them. It makes it that much harder to get in because I'm already open to the world system, and now I got to penetrate veils I wasn't supposed to be penetrating. Does that make sense? The second you touch the world, it's going to make every second you're touching the world after you wake up, it's going to make it that much harder to get into the kingdom, because he's going to start activating your senses. The enemy, this general life itself is going to activate all your senses to touch, feel this world. God's trying to activate your spiritual senses. Amen. And to activate your spiritual senses is going to require your natural senses be submitted. So what do we do with the mind then? I'm glad you asked that question. Hallelujah. The first thing we need to do is find out what he did. What did Jesus do with the mind? Before I get there, I want you to look at 1 John 4. Chuck and I were talking about this verse. 1 John 4 verse 18. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Okay? Well, what was fear is the byproduct of what? Separation. So if perfect love is casting out fear, what else is perfect love going to cast out? all the separation. Why? Because God wants to get back to his original mandate, which is his original mandate for man to walk in union with him and have dominion. What we try to do is go have dominion without the union. That's not going to work. You can preach all day long and have dominion conferences. And I mean spell dominion. You can make graphics, dominion. You can have all that. You can have a dominion church if you want to. But you're not going to have dominion without union, not true dominion. Jesus showed up and he showed us how the plan of the Father. He came in and he had dominion. They said, how did you do this? He says, I am not doing this. It's my Father that's dwelling in me. My Father and I are one. He says, if you can believe this, then I'll bring you into the same relationship I have with the Father, you can have with him, and you can have the same union and the same dominion. That's what he's promised us. So instead of focusing on having dominion, we need to focus on union, and then dominion's going to come. Amen? But the union's the tough part, because when the Lord said to love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, it's mind, body and strength, we're trying to love him, but our mind's not subjected. So in essence, we're not loving him with all of our mind because it's unsubmitted. The problem with the unsubmitted mind is going to, as you've already found out by a show of hands, it's going to constantly be there. Even to this day, as much as the love of the Father I'm experiencing, it's still there every day. I've got to do something with it. Amen. But the good news is there's something you can do. Amen. And you're going to have to be skilled. If you don't learn these skills, these spiritual skills, then your mind's going to keep you out of alignment. And if you stay out of alignment, you're going to live far below what God has for you. Amen? So, go to Genesis 3, verse 17. So God, as a result of the fall, said something very interesting. He says, Adam, because you've hearkened to the voice of your wife, you're in trouble. And watch this. He said, thorns and thistles, your ground, thorns and thistles, verse 18, will bring forth to thee, and you'll eat the herb of the field. And verse 19, Genesis 3, 19 says, in the sweat of your face or the sweat of your brow, say sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread. Now, before the fall, that's not the way man produced. Man had the glory of God on him. He operated with the glory and living waters basically flowed through him. He operated in a state of union with God where God would then multiply and he would operate in dominion through a position of harmony with God. Once the harmony was breached, the separation came, the curse came in, and part of that curse was what was called the sweat of the brow. And the sweat of the brow is where everything showed up. All the works, labors, spirit of Amalek showed up. That's basically all that came out of the works. And so that's man's attempt then to produce the kingdom of God and to operate in the kingdom of God through his own. And because of that, it was a wearisome effort. Now notice something he said here. Very interesting. I found this scripture. Ezekiel 44, even the priesthood made reference to this. Ezekiel 44:15, priests and the Levites, the sons of Zadok, or Zadok, they kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. They shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat of the blood of the Lord. So he's saying the priesthood's going to come back near to me. They're going to come back into my house. They went astray and they're going to come back into my house and they will enter my sanctuary and they shall come near to my table. So he's inviting them back in. See, they've been shut out. He's bringing them back near. They're drawing near. Look at verse 17. It shall come to pass when they enter in at the gate of the inner court, they will be clothed in what? Linen. Say linen. And no wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. And they shall have linen bonnets upon where? Their heads, sweat of the what? Brow. And they shall have linen breeches upon their loins. And they shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. Now, we're not talking about going to work. If you work out in the field and you sweat, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a spiritual operation, but even under the law, he would not allow them to minister in the holy place of God with anything that would cause them to sweat, because he was already signifying, if you're going to sit with me, you're going to do it with the absence of the sweat of the brow. I'm going to redeem you from that, and I'm going to bring you back into the rest. So I don't want any sweat of the brow or any works, labor, operations of self-sufficiency, any strain, say strain. We don't go before the Lord our God in a strainful position. We come in fluidly in the rest. Amen. Now, because there's a wall there, what we have to do is, what did he do with the mind? Well, the first thing he did, he shed his blood. When the crown of thorns, they platted it upon the head. And when they platted upon the head, they took reeds and they beat those thorns into his head. It said they took the reeds and they beat that thorn, and it pierced the brow. And when the blood was shed, the curse was broken. Once he broke the curse of the mind and the sweat of the brow, the mind, that's why he says you have now the what? Mind of Christ. So you now have, by way of truth and the power of God, access. We have access to the mind of Christ, and our mind now, just like anything, because blood was shed, our mind can come under submission now. The curse was broken. The curse was severed. The curse was broken. So what do I do? Well, the first thing you got to know, just like anything else, we know that we're forgiven because blood was shed. We know that the power of the old mind to govern and rule our life, the mind of the flesh, has been broken. Blood has been shed. So if you're dealing with issues with a very highly activated, unsubmitted mind, the first thing you want to do is start bringing it under submission to truth. The first thing I do when I go in, especially if my mind's really active, when I'm in prayer, I got that mind under submission. So what I do is I begin submitting it to the Lordship of Jesus. Now remember, he's already conquered. Now, if one thing you understand, the Lord has already conquered everything you're dealing with. He's a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of infirmity. He's already won every battle you're facing. He's won it for you. Right? Now, if you understand that he's won the battle, you don't have to rely on yourself. You just rely more on him. But I don't want to leave you with just rely on the Lord, trust in the Lord, and go out there, because you don't know what that means. Here's what I mean. In the world, you'll have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have a lot of activity. But in me, say in me, there's peace. You have to understand what the Lord's given to you is, as your high priest and redeemer, he's freely given it to you. He won the battle of your mind. He won the battle of separation. That's why he said, my glory, I give to you. My glory of being oneness of the Father, I give it to you. You don't have to win that battle. I already won it. You just enter into it. So what am I going to do with the mind? Well, instead of fighting with the mind, what I want to do is bring it under subjection to God, and I want to enter into the rest of the Lord. I want to enter into the peace where he's won the battle. So I need to get it submitted enough to get into where the Lord is. Does that make sense? Because if I can get into his peace, if I can get into his rest, my mind will be under submission to him, because I'm in him and he's governor. Peace is the governor of my heart and mind. So instead of fighting all the war of my mind, the first thing I got to do is recognize the lack of focus. When you go to prayer, the first thing you're going to need to know is, when you're trying to get through the door or wherever area you're trying to move in, recognize the wandering. Recognize the lack of focus. When your mind starts wandering, pull it back in. Now, I'm not going to forever have to do that, but I got to pull it in enough to get through the veil. Does that make sense? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? If I lost everybody, I got to pull it in to get through the veil. Once I get through the veil, when I'm in him, I don't have to fight the battle because he's already won the battle. So once I'm inside him, I'm free. Now, once I'm in his rest, I'm not having to struggle because I'm covered in his peace. I'm dwelling in his rest. I'm dwelling in his peace. I'm dwelling in his victory. Does that make sense? I'm not having to fight mine. I'm in him. The key is to move into what he's freely given you. If you're having a struggle with an unsanctified mind, you got to get it into his peace when he's already won the battle and he's freely offered you his peace. Now, the offer his peace, my peace, I give it to you. In the world, you have tribulation, but in me, you'll have peace. You got to get to the in me part. So the key is get my mind to the in me part. I got to get my mind in him. See, if I can get my mind in him, I won't struggle with it forever. If I don't get it in him, I'm going to struggle with it. It's going to keep me from getting in. So how do I do that? Look at your neighbor, say, focus. When you learn to do this, you're going to learn to penetrate the veil. And when you learn to penetrate the veil, what I'm about to tell you, when you learn to do this, you're going to penetrate the veil. So what do I do? I'm going to get down to the rubber meets the road here. Because I'm trying to teach you how to walk with God here. But we're going to get to where the Father's at. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to help you get there. So I want to get to where the rubber meets the road. And the rubber meets the road is when you wake up to go to pray and you hit your wall. You know, the one you say, oh, well, what's the use? We'll start tomorrow. You know, that wall, the brick wall, the one you're standing in front of. You know, that's just for Pastor Lauren and Chuck. I can't do this, whatever. That wall. That wall is you're trying to get through and your mind's just all active and you're thinking about today, yesterday, tomorrow and your to-do list and everything's going on and you're here and you should be here and this thing's ruling and it shouldn't be ruling. That part. What do I do? What do you do right then and there? How do I get that thing under submission? Well, the first thing you do is bring it into focus. All right? You're not going to be able to allow it to wander around. You're going to bring in a submission. What I do is I humble it. And I'll even sometimes say, I have the mind of Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind. I bring it under submission to you, Lord. Because the first thing I'm doing is bringing a submission. I humble. Then what I got to do is I got to attach it to an anchor. I need to anchor my mind. Otherwise, it's going to be driven with the wind. Does that make sense? If an unanchored boat in the middle of a storm is going to roll everywhere, so I've got to anchor my mind down somewhere. What do I anchor? I have to find a scripture, a truth that's going to anchor it. Amen? And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus into that anchor. And what I do is I don't anchor it. Now listen to me very carefully because I'm going to close here soon, maybe. I don't anchor here, I anchor here. So picture an anchor here. But instead of an anchor, it's a truth, but it's in your heart. Amen. Like, here's a really good one. In you, there is peace. In the world, there's tribulation. Peace is the governor of my heart and mind. When I'm in you, peace will govern my heart and mind. I hold this. And what I do is I hold that truth right here in my spirit. And when I hold it, I'm focused here. What am I doing with my mind? I'm pulling it here. Instead of allowing it to go out here, I'm pulling it and anchoring. And what I do is I tie that thing down. And when it wants to rage, I tie harder. And what I'm doing, I'm keeping my focus. And when you learn to do this, when you learn to focus it in like this, and you focus and you just practice that focus. And another thing, he that entereth into my rest, he ceases from all his labor. How about this? When I enter into rest, I cease from all anxiety from the mind. So I say, Lord, I don't have to win this battle. I've just got to get to you. Listen, as long as you're in the world, the mind's going to be what it is. But when you bring it into Christ, you get into his victory. You get into his mind. So he that entereth your rest, I can cease from all this battle, from all this labor, from all the anxiety of the mind. But I got to get to where you are. But my mind doesn't want to focus. So what I do is I hold that like this, like I'm going this way. And I say, I hold this. And the Lord, I enter into your rest. See, where is my mind? I've got it here. What are you doing? You're loving the Lord your God with all your mind. And when you learn to do that, you'll keep focusing and keep holding it. You don't have to know 50 scriptures. You can want one, but you got to practice submission of anchoring your mind down here. Amen. When you practice that submission, now what it's going to do, it's going to lift up. It's going to go and you pull it back and it's going to want to lift up. And you pull it back, especially you got your to-do list and all that stuff going on and everything's going on. You got to do this, got to do that, the kids, everything. Pull it back. So, no, the highest priority is to love the Lord my God with all my heart. If I do that, everything else is going to line up. If I do this right, I'm going to get to where you're. So I enter into your peace. I enter into your, I come into where you are. where peace is the governor of my heart and mind. And what happens is you're focusing in and you're speaking in your focus. What happens? You start moving to where you've been anchored. And what happens? You'll make that shift into that veil. And when you do, all of a sudden you're in the Lord's strength now. You're in His standing now. And now you don't have to fight all that because you've broken the barrier between the world system and the kingdom. Does that make sense? Now the Lord's covering you. Now you're free to just enjoy. Now you're free to just rest. Now you're free. Your mind's been liberated. Now peace is now the governor of the heart and the mind. You see how that works? Once you learn to do that, and it brought it under submission, now you're free to move in the kingdom. And you have broken a barrier that most people, even by the show of hands, are dealing with on a daily basis. And it's that one key, that one truth, and practicing that one submission of anchoring it down into your spirit by truth. Truth is your anchor. That's the anchor, and I'm going to anchor it. Even when it doesn't want to be anchored, you keep anchoring, because remember, you have authority. And as you do, the mind's going to start coming under submission. It's like a horse. When we used to race, they did not like to come under submission. When they were wild, and you cannot race a horse that doesn't submit to that bridle. And so we had to teach them that submission over and over again. But eventually, the nature then comes into alignment. When it does, you'll start seeing a fluid transition into the kingdom of God. And you'll realize your mind can't keep you out in the activity thereof. Does that make sense? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. So what I want to do before we let you go, I want to end with a testimony today, because this is powerful. This is not what we're teaching, but the byproduct of what we're teaching. So I'm Justin. He didn't even know this. Come up here. I want to share what happened with you in the prison the other day.
Well, actually, we was in Jester 3 unit out in Richmond, and over there, it's like a hospital. There's several thousand in a unit, but in the church, there was probably about 300 or about 270, but there was probably about 50 to 75 guys in a wheelchair, so it's like a hospital unit for them. And so I was just praying before I was going there just for the Lord just to release that anointing, that dunamis power, just so that it would flow and we can see the guys to, you know, rise up. And so anyways, we was in service, and that was the first service that we did when we went into, started to go under Pastor James into his ministry. And so we was actually, that was going to be the last service to go in with him as well. So we began there and we entered there. But a powerful thing is I was praying too, because when Pastor separated us, because what the Lord told him, I've been praying, Lord, I don't like the separation. Some people get offended. And so, but whenever he didn't even tell us, he called us up there. He set us on chairs and he asked the guys to lift their hands. And he told them what they did. He says, we're going to send them out. He says, we don't hold on to people. We disciple them and we send them out. So it was very powerful. But then that's when the Holy Spirit started to just rain and to fill the place. And at the end, there was over, we stopped counting at 80 salvations. They just kept coming and coming and coming and just filling the altar. And James says, Justin and Haiti, I want y'all to come and lay hands on this one guy. And he was in a wheelchair. He had one of those helmets on his head, because if he hits it, he'd just go into whatever. And so as we were just praying, I just felt just that dunamis power just begin to start flowing. And the guy just sat there and he was just shaking. And I was just releasing the power of God, just releasing that dunamis over him just for like 5 or 10 minutes. And he just receiving and receiving and receiving. And I stopped and I said, do you have a testimony, brother? Is there anything that you was feeling? He was just like this. And so I just kept covering him with the glory of God and just kept covering him. And finally, he just began to start telling me his testimony of how he got in the wheelchair. But I know the Lord touched him in a mighty way. And when we go back, I know there's going to be some changes in that whole place. Amen.
Isn't that awesome? Glory to God. They're good fruit. Hallelujah. So how many of you learned something today? How many are going to practice that now? Practice anchoring. Just think of your boat as you're a ship. Sometimes when you wake up, there's a storm and that ship's being blown about, tossed. You need to anchor. So just think about chaining your mind down into your spirit by a truth, and you anchor it down in until you move into that place. You can anchor into the rest. You can anchor into His peace. But as you anchor on into the glory of God, you'll see the shift, and you'll shift on into His victory. Remember, the kingdom is about flowing and operating in the Lord's victory, not yours. We're in Him. I mean, I'll tell you, there are days I have that and I'll just move in, and all of a sudden I move into his pavilion. I'll say, hide me in your pavilion of rest. Hide me. And he just takes me in that pavilion. All of a sudden the warfare just instantaneously breaks. And all of a sudden rest, and I'm clothed, and then I feel his strength, and I feel his peace. It's like, God, you're so strong, Lord. You're so amazingly strong. I don't have to do all this in my own strength. I just got to get into yours. Learn to move into the Lord's victory. Learn to move into him. He's already won all these battles. All he's asking us to do is to move into what he's done. Move into where he is. Move into what he's done. Move into the places we need, because he has all the peace, the strength, and the love. I mean, he's already won that for you. Amen? So the mind, the word of God's the anchor of the mind. Amen? That truth you hold in your heart. Let's give the Lord glory.
I was just going to say that since God's doing this in all of us as a corporate body, I would encourage you, there's this one message here lately. It's called You Shall Know. And that one, the Holy Spirit used Pastor to capture. I mean, if you can just listen to that over and over and over, and then what he just taught us, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, strength. Those three, I mean, if you get all of yourself to be focused on God and listen to what was captured in that message, it's going to shift you into where he's taking us.
I wanted to also share a scripture verse about that just really zones in on what he's been sharing today. And it's out of Colossians 3:1 and 3:2. And 3:2 says, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. And so he was talking about anchoring it, set it. And then in verse 1, it says, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so he's teaching us about the right hand of God, and that we are spiritual beings first. We are citizens of heaven, and we need to anchor ourselves and have a time of focus, focusing on the things of heaven, because that's who that we are. And one other thing that he shared that really has helped me a lot was that he does not listen to words with music in it when he's entering in with the Lord, music with words in it, because it allows him just to then totally focus and still your mind, enter into that place of rest first, and then you can commune with the Lord and commune with the Father. And so, and actually love him and honor him by actually seeking him and communing with him. And he's creating an awareness of God in his life that once it gets planted inside of him and it's being rooted in him, that awareness of God, everyone that comes within a realm, comes close to him, is instantly going to start becoming aware of God. It's an atmosphere.
Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord forever.